Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
One of my favorite reads, Percy Allen, Seattle Times. Follow him on Twitter. Listen to him on this show. I wanted to bring him on because it's Oregon-Washington week. There's a lot to talk about there. We can talk about that. We could also talk some basketball. Do you know they're selling beer and wine this season at University of Washington basketball games? That's the sixth Pac-12 school to offer beer and wine. Percy Allen joining us. Does that mean we're going to have beer and wine on press row?
That would be a dangerous combination, wouldn't it?
Could you imagine?
Me tweeting? Oh, man. You know, so I don't know how much I even say this, but it is a cool. So you do remember back in the day, like after games, beer was just readily available.
Yep.
And that was just how things were. But now we live in a time where, you know, that's only the case in so many places now. But back then, that was just commonplace.
If I'm having a beer, let's say we're barbecuing at my house and I'm having a beer or drink glass of wine or something, and I pull my phone out, my wife will say, "Don't go on Twitter."
Smart woman. Smart woman. I don't know. You know, sometimes, again, back in the day, I kind of felt a little bit better after I... It's like when you go play a round of golf,
yeah.
Right? You know, like you... So, you know, like you just have maybe one or two just to sort of get the nerves out. And so when you're on the first tee, you don't care as much, and you loosen up.
Percy, let's... And you're right about that. I'm a better bowler. I'd be better at darts if I had a beer or two, so... it would be relaxed there. Let's talk about the Huskies. Who are they, man? Because they look, for a half against Arizona, not so good. Then second half, they look like the old Chris Peterson Huskies.
Yeah, I don't know who they are. I mean, John, I don't know because this team doesn't know who they are yet. And it's really sort of difficult to imagine that 7 games into the season, this team does not have an identity yet. And you know, again, before the year, I would have thought that would have been unthinkable, that that like a Chris Peterson team sort of going into the year that, you know, that they've always had a strong identity. Peterson thought something going into the year. He thought he was going to play to that sort of that veteran offensive line. But at the same time, he was tempted with this strong arm quarterback in Jacob Eason. And, you know, there's a whole lot to like with this kid. I mean, he is, you know, straight out of what a quarterback should look like. And that ball just jumps off his arm. And so there are times when they want to just maul teams. And then there's other times that they're trying to pass. And sometimes it just looks like a mess. And like you said, last week was a prime example. I mean, that offense was horrific for the first half. I mean, really, really bad. And then in the second half, they were just able to find some things. I think their defense really helped them out. But they were opportunistic on offense. They went to some of their younger receivers, which is something that UW fans have been calling for years because they've had some, for all season, because they've had some drop balls. And so, yeah, you know, I'm curious as to what we'll see on Saturday.
We're talking to Percy Allen of the Seattle Times about the Washington Huskies. Let's start on the defensive side of the ball. This was a defense over the years that has been scary at times. What are they on the defensive side of the ball right now?
Well, the one thing that they are, and again, I don't know if you can really, you know, sort of say this after 7 games, but they're young. I mean, they're inexperienced. I mean, there's really only one returning starter from last year. Again, 7 games in, you probably shouldn't sort of talk about these things now, you know, because, you know, like the guys that are out there, they've had some games under their belt, but you know, they still don't really quite know. You know, like as you said, like they have led the Pac-12 in scoring defense for the past four seasons. I mean, they've been really dominant on that side of the ball, that they just would not let teams into the end zone. You know, that like you may get some yardage, but you're not going to get into the end zone. And with that team, that's what it was all about, and they did it with their secondary. Again, one returning starter, Miles Bryant, he's their nickel. He is the leader of that defense, but at the same time, they just need more dudes. And they've just sort of juggled and rotated some. They've got a new free safety now, and so we think it's the freshman A's a Turner, but it may be the senior, another freshman, Cameron Williams, and so they're just sort of trying to find something that works on defense. They were really exploited a couple of weeks ago by Stanford, and Stanford embarrassed them, and that sort of caused all of the changes on the defensive side of the ball. It has nothing to really do with injuries or anything like that, that they're just trying to find a cohesive unit that can keep teams out of the end zone.
We're talking to Percy Allen of the Seattle Times. Offensively, you point out in your piece that you had analysis after the game that, you know, they had trouble in the red zone, they had trouble on third downs. I think they went like 16 possessions ranging back to the Stanford game without scoring a touchdown on a drive before the second half.
Yeah.
What's going on in the red zone? What's going on short yardage situations?
You know, again, I'm going to say it's execution. Without truly knowing, you know, what's being called in the huddle, what's being communicated from the sideline, it just doesn't seem like these kids out there are getting it done. But then at some point in time, you also have to say, well, is that coaching? You know, do they have the right players out there, or are they, you know, are they putting these kids in a position where they can succeed? But if I were to look at it, it just seems that, man, they are dropping some pass. I mean, truly, if you were to see some of the games that they lost, it was because of drop passes. You know, the game against Stanford, the game against Cal, that was all drop passes. I mean, I want to say the game against Cal, like seven drop passes, game against Stanford, somewhere similar, six or seven. And I'm talking on crucial downs. And so, you know, these guys just weren't completing the play, that type of deal. You know, able to get separation, able to get their hands on the ball, but just wasn't able to bring the ball in. And then I also sort of started a dialogue. Well, was Jacob Eason throwing the ball too hard? And I'm like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? And so just like things like that, you know, and so crazy things like that happen when you're not being as successful as you want to be. And then it also goes back to that, just, you know, look, you have this great, and you know that where like you have this great quarterback, people think is going to be a first round guy, you know. And yet, at the same time, you know, how much do you give to him and let him control things? And the difference here is that this is Jacob Eason's first year with the Huskies. And so there's that trust factor there. Or how much do you rely on the running game? And that's, you know, that's kind of been where they've been most consistent at.
The next two games for Washington are home games against the Ducks and then against Utah. I think that the Ducks and Utah are you know, probably the best two teams in the conference right now, I think. How important is it for Chris Peterson, and what would it mean? Because sometimes these games are big, sometimes they're bigger. I feel like this one's bigger.
You know, I feel like it for Washington, certainly, because, it, you know, as much as we all like to say that this conference eats up itself, and it does, I don't see a three-loss team making it to the Pac-12 title game. And so, obviously, for Washington, they have to win out. Oregon has some room to play with here, you know, being undefeated in the conference. So it's huge in that sense for Washington that, like, if they want to be what they think they are, to like, and I don't want to say salvage the season, but right now, I mean, you know, look, they're like 5-2. 2-2 in conference and another loss, then, you know, they are out of it. I think, you know, in terms of, you know, trying to get to that title game. So, yeah, I mean, you know, this week is crucial, but at the same time, they know that if they get past on Saturday, they have a bye, you know, sort of after this week. And so they can refocus and sort of regroup and then make that last push. It's all about Saturday for them. This is going to be their biggest crowd of the season. They haven't had a sellout yet. It's going to be absolutely incredible. 12:30. It's going to be sort of slightly overcast. So, you know, typical Seattle type of weather. It's just going to be absolutely nuts. I think they're going to play their best game. I really do. For like some strange reason, I don't know why.
Percy Allen of the Seattle Times is our guest. Percy, you see a team over and over for a while, and you get tunnel vision on your team. And I'm curious what you see though when you look over at Oregon, because I got to think, you know, you're covering Washington and doing some other things, but you must be rubbernecking a little bit. I've done that a little bit with Washington. What do you see? What do the Ducks look like to you?
Everyone saw that first game against Auburn. Everyone saw that. And I think after that game, it was like maybe some people turned away from Oregon. You know, I still can't get it out of my head that how did you lose to a freshman, you know, quarterback on – I mean, that still sort of blows my mind there that, like, you know, Justin was outplayed by a freshman quarterback. But we have to get away from that. And then as I sort of really dug into Oregon this week, I mean, obviously on paper, that defense looks phenomenal. But at the same time, you know, as we know, it's not about who you play, but when you play them. And so I've got to, you know, wonder if Oregon has been fortunate there to, like, when they played Stanford, when they played Cal, everybody, you know, beating up on Colorado doesn't really do much for me. I mean, So I think, again, this is going to be a really tough test for Oregon. You know, you've probably talked about this ad nauseum, but with Justin, I think he's got a lot of Jacob Eason in him in the sense that, like, he looks good, sort of. You know, he's one of those first off the bus guys. You know, just looks phenomenal, looks the part, and all that. But who is he beating? You know, I don't. You know, if I close my eyes, what is his signature moment? What is his signature game? I can't think of one right now. And I'm going to keep it real. Even if they win on Saturday, that's not going to be a signature moment for like Justin. I mean, so people have told me that he's a first round draft pick, but I look at him like, I guess he is, you know, but I really haven't seen it. So that's the thing that really jumps out at me, that one is the defense as good as it, you know, has looked. I mean, you know, obviously on paper it looks phenomenal, but you know, we'll see. Have they really faced a quarterback, you know, like, you know, you showed me a quarterback that they've really beaten out of their like 5 wins here. And then can Justin really come up big? And that's what I really want to know.
Yeah, I think you have a good assessment of that, because I got to be honest, you know, their defense has been smothering, but again, I'll go, okay, I want to see them. And even if they, let's say they hold Washington to 10 points, I'll still kind of wonder, is that just Washington kind of reverting back to their old troubles and, you know, like they did against Stanford? Or is Oregon that dominant? And I think you're right on that signature moment. I said it earlier in the week, you know, Kenny Wheaton and the pick and everything, everybody makes a big deal about that. I feel like Oregon needs another big play, and I feel like Herbert is the guy, right? If they're gonna go somewhere special this year, if they're going to go to a Rose Bowl, it's Herbert making a big play. I'm waiting for that moment.
You know, and I've been waiting for that for a while, and look, again, I kind of go back to that game last year when, that one was more of a shootout. I don't have the score. What was that? That was old overtime game, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's going to be – look, I don't see a low-scoring game. I just don't. I don't see a 17-10 game here. I think both of these teams will score points. And really, I think it's going to come down to the quarterback. I just go back to it that I don't see a quarterback that Oregon has faced this year that really impresses me. I mean, Steven Montez, I guess, is the best quarterback that they faced. And we know that Montez is really up and down. So, I think Eason is, again, you know, people tell me that he's a first-round draft pick, and I've seen all of the games, but sometimes he looks great. He's had three games where, like, he looks phenomenal, but I've also seen three games where he looks, like, really suspect. Now, add in there, there's been some drop passes, so it hasn't all been him. But I think the quarterbacks will be the difference here.
Percy Allen, I will see you in the press box. Thanks, man, for making time for us.
No problem, Johnny. Take care of yourself.
All right, there he is, Percy Allen of the Seattle Times. Tweet at me, at John Canzano BFT. Give me your score for the Oregon-Washington game. Closest to the pin, I'll bring back game program from Husky Stadium. Okay, closest to the pin. But you got to tweet your score at me, at John Canzano BFT. The best sound from all around, it's a segment we call Punch It Audio. We do it every day on the show.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth Headquarters.
Hey, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way here, okay? Which is why we've spanned the globe and pulled the top audio cuts of the day.
You're going to hear little snippets of sound.
Hey, it's time for Punch It Audio.
Presented by First Call Heating and Cooling.
Titans went to practice today with Marcus Mariota wearing the backup jersey. Mike Vrabel, coach of the Titans. Punch it.
Marcus has been to a Pro Bowl. He's been to the playoffs before you were hired. Since you've been hired, he's regressed to this point. Why?
I guess I'm just not a very good coach, Jared.
There it is. Vrabel saying he's not a very good coach. Bottom line is the Titans have so many problems. They've been sacked more than any other team in the NFL. Whoever you throw in there, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, it isn't going to matter. It isn't. I don't know why that's so hard for people to wrap their minds around. I won't root against Ryan Tannehill, but I'll pray for him. LaDainian Tomlinson talking about the Rams on the Dan Patrick Show. Punch it.
I'm saying the Rams have made it clear that they're going for it. They're going to be, you know, proactive and try to take advantage of the market when they can and getting a guy like Jalen Ramsey.
Rams just changed their season. Jalen Ramsey, who was at the Jaguars training facility, now effectively forcing the Jags to trade him. Rams, are they in business now? I mean, I like that they did something that was proactive, but it feels like too little too late for me. Davey Martinez and the Nationals are headed to the World Series. Here's the skipper. They scored 7 in the first. Punch it.
You know, at first you think, man, that's awesome. You know, we're probably going to score a bunch of runs. And it turns out we didn't. You know, that was it. And I'm really proud of the guys. Just every inning, you know, we try to win every inning and stay in it. And the boys did well. You know, Patrick got out of some jams, and then our bullpen. You know, I can't say enough about Rainey, Dew, Huddy, what they did today. Huge game for both of them, but they've done that through this whole playoffs.
Davey Martinez on to the World Series, waits the winner of the American League Championship Series. How long has it been since they've had a team in the World Series?
I'm just happy to be a part of it. Like I said, I'm just a small piece to the puzzle. I really am. Ownership, front office, Riz, players, clubhouse, trainers. It means a lot to all of us, you know, and I thank them all for sticking through this, you know, throughout the whole year. I mean, it took a village to get us to where we're at right now. So I'm really proud of everybody in this organization.
86 years, if you're counting, for Washington to have a World Series team. It leaves only one team in Major League Baseball, only one franchise without a World Series appearance. Can you name it?
Seattle Mariners.
Bingo, you got a winner. Portland has as many World Series appearances as Seattle. Chalk it up. Moving forward, Steve Kerr has got some young players on that Warriors roster that are going to have to step up. But will the last preseason game be a dress rehearsal? Punch it.
I'd like to, but you know, you can't always plan. For example, we know we won't have Looney, I'm assuming if healthy, Draymond, Steph, and D'Angelo will play, and we'll try to bump up their minutes and see if we can get to a rotation. But we still have a lot to sort through.
NBA getting ready to launch. I'm excited for this NBA season. I'm excited to see what the Blazers do, but I'm really excited to see what the Warriors are. I keep coming back to that. How bad will they be? Will they be surprisingly good? Will they hold water until the return of Klay Thompson? What are they going to look like? Is it over? Will the Warriors ever win again? Like, did that open and close just like that? That's part of it. Back to the American League Championship Series. By the way, Game 4 of the ALCS postponed from today until tomorrow due to rain. But Game 3 yesterday went to the Astros. Jose Altuve hit a slider for a home run. Punch it.
No, I wasn't looking for a slider. I was just looking something that I could drive. And, you know, thanks God I hit the ball out, because for us it's really important to score before they do, because, you know, that gives us confidence and just the advantage.
Astros went on to win 4-1. Aaron Boone with the Yankees. Is he okay with his starters only lasting four innings? Punch it.
No, we're going to need some length. And, you know, Seve did get us into the fifth today, and Massa six the first game. So, really, it's you know, one short outing that we had ahead of an off day. But confident that you know, our starters can give us that. Obviously, one of these days we'll kind of bullpen it and have to go that way. But, you know, I'm confident that they can get us deeper into the game.
Game 4 scheduled for today has been postponed in New York till tomorrow. I like that Major League Baseball did this. A lot of people are criticizing them, saying, hey, why would you call the game? Maybe they could have got it in. I don't like the idea of bringing 30 or 40,000 people to the stadium not knowing if there's going to be a game. I think these ALCS games are too important. You want good weather. You don't want to have a bunch of pitchers starting the game and not be able to finish the game in a series like this. So I like Major League Baseball pulling the trigger early and saying, you know what, we're just going to postpone Game 4 to tomorrow. Houston leads that series 2-1. In the NFL, Patrick Mahomes, he gets a tough test this week, the one that the Titans failed last week.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced
Truth. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.